This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklyn's Radio with me, Jackie Mitchell, when we spend an hour talking to interesting local women about subjects surrounding their work, lives, children, as well as their amazing experiences. But to start with, my co-presenter, Mandy Dineley, talks to Sarah Jones, an acrylic and mixed media artist who teaches online classes.
Welcome, Sarah, to Just Women.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great. I'm really, really looking forward to speaking to you today. Sarah, can you just give us a little bit of background about you, how you got to be doing what you're doing today?
Yeah, sure. It's a bit of a circuitous route. God, I can't get my words
that's
out.
That's a good word.
Not a good start, was it?
No, but that's a great word.
Thank you. So I worked in the corporate world for many years. I was a global project and program manager. And then I had a career change, and I did a midlife degree and various other continuing professional development certificates in various disciplines, and set up my business because I wanted to help people become calmer and more creative in their lives.
And that's how it all started?
It was, yeah.
So can you tell us about your classes then, or your courses, and how they work, how they run, and just, you know, give us a little bit of information, because I think at the moment this is something that so many people will benefit from.
Yeah, sure. So I have an online virtual classroom, and people sign up for classes which are in blocks of six, so there's not a massive ongoing commitment. The classes are pre-recorded and they cover lots of different media. So I teach mixed media, and I'm actually mixed media and acrylic artist myself, so I obviously understand how to use lots and lots of different things, from pencil, charcoal, watercolor, oil pastels, soft pastels. So if those are things that you want to learn, if you come to one of the 6-week blocks, you will touch up on all of those in the 6 weeks. People can then access the lesson throughout the week, so you'll have 6 to 8 weeks ongoing access. But what I do is I guide people through, so that although I'm not physically there to teach, people can then access it at their own time. I encourage people to, throughout the week, try and keep up, so that week on week they are watching a lesson and they're producing work. And then if they want to, they can share that work in the virtual classroom, or if they don't want to, there's no obligation to do that. So hopefully people are getting a nice, flexible and calming creative experience, which they can access as and when they have the time to do it around other commitments. And the other added benefit is the fact that they can always send me a message about any questions they have, and I will respond pretty much immediately. So, you know, if you're there on a Sunday evening doing a lesson in, I don't know, watercolour, and you're feeling confused, you can always ping me a message and I'll come straight back and tell you what you need to know. So I'm always there, even if I'm not there in person, if that makes sense.
It sounds like a really good service that you offer. I mean, you know, I know at the moment a lot of people are looking, you know, to finding their creative, and perhaps they put the creative to one side. And I think what you offer is really, really valuable to people out there. And I should imagine that you build a little community. And how does that work then? Do some people stay in their own little groups, or do they find that they make friendships from the course? Or
it's entirely dependent on the individual, really, and how sociable you want to be. I mean, obviously there's a chat space within the group. The group isn't sort of physically meeting, so we're not kind of Zooming lessons and all interacting at the same time. And the reason for that is because I wanted it to be convenient, particularly in lockdown, because I realised people have a lot of things to juggle.
I see. So they do the class individually and in their own time.
Correct. Yeah. Because I pre-record the lessons. I was teaching in person, so we used to sort of meet on a Monday morning, and then when things adapted, obviously people had other commitments. So what I did was I made it so that I tried to make the classes as close to the in-person experience as possible, so that I would teach in a similar way as I would in a physical class. But then because people had so much to do, they were homeschooling children and so forth, you know, I made it so that they could access it at their leisure. Because if I'd continue to say, well, we'll meet at X time on a Monday or X time on a Thursday, people wouldn't be able to make that as a commitment. So just trying to kind of fit it around things for people, really.
And that makes so much sense. How did you find transitioning? Because, you know, if you're very much used to having hands-on, how did you find the change from, you know, seeing people face-to-face and then having to do it online? Was that easy for you?
It was funny because one of the things I thought would happen would be that as I was sat there filming the classes, it would be really odd to do without having people because, you know, my natural style is, and people always say that I'm very sort of calming, I'm quite a calming presence and quite reassuring. But, you know, also I've got a good sense of humour. So I like to crack jokes and kind of, you know, help the group to sort of bond and kind of encourage people. So it's quite a nice sort of space when you're in a physical room with people, you know, and you can kind of bounce off each other. And I kind of missed that at first. And I thought it would be really strange to record the lessons just chuntering away to myself. And at times it kind of feels like I am, you know, talking to nobody in particular. But I'm quite good at it, I discovered. During lockdown, I can actually just imagine that I'm talking to my students because I know that at some point they will be listening to the class. But it's weird because you're not there when the joke lands and, you know, you don't get to hear the laughter. So, you know, I often crack my little jokes to myself while I'm teaching and giving them the pearls of wisdom and try not to send them to sleep.
But, you know, it's as I listen to you, I mean, I have seen some of your work and it is absolutely beautiful. And one thing that always strikes me with your work is that it's so colourful. Your eye for colour is amazing. It's just beautiful. But so you're obviously creative and the calmness in your voice as well. And so I love the way that your you know, your workshops are called what you are exactly.
Thanks. That's very kind of you to say. Yeah, I suppose when I was kind of thinking about names for, you know, what I do, I was trying to sort of think about personal brand, really, because, you know, when you're an artist, you put your name out there. But having the name that I have, there's several other artists with the same name. So under my artwork, I actually have a studio name. But, you know, for teaching, it comes under Create and Calm. And it also kind of represents the two sides of the business, because as much as there's the creative teaching art, which I also do one to one, so I do therapeutic art for well-being, not to be confused with art therapy. I'm not a trained art therapist. But I've also run a lot of art for well-being classes within the community with lots of different adult groups. So, you know, a lot of sort of neurodiverse people, work for charities, people with brain injury, acquired brain injury and stroke. You know, so I kind of wanted to represent both sides of the business. And, you know, also the fact that I'm a trained coach and I specialise in stress management and burnout recovery. So, you know, there's kind of a lot to encompass, but it also kind of encompasses those sides of me as well.
Yes, but how it's as somebody that would take part in a workshop, it's so comforting to know that you're in good hands, you know, as you say, all your coaching experience, your stress management. I mean, that's so valuable. And to be able to use that with your art coaching as well. I mean, that's incredible. What sort of people have you seen that have benefited from, you know, that sort of work that you offer, that sort of course?
All different types of people, really. I mean, when I first started out, I worked in an art centre, and that was for pretty much anyone from the age of 18 to, I don't know, sort of a pensioner's age, really. And there were lots of different client groups in there. And I think the thing that you soon realizes that everyone is an individual, so you learn to relate to people as individuals. So regardless of whether somebody has an enduring mental health condition or they've had a stroke or they've got physical disability, at the end of the day we're all just people, you know, and people want to be worked with in an individual capacity and they want to be understood. And that's kind of at the core of what I do. I try to tailor everything. Even when I'm working in groups, I like to kind of assess who is in a group in a physical environment. So this was back in the real world before lockdown. And I work very intuitively as well in all of the things that I do. So it's very much about kind of reading from people and then listening carefully to what people say to you. So you're almost kind of learning a person and then kind of bouncing off them energetically and then sort of learning to understand who they are creatively.
That's, I mean, it all sounds amazing. It also sounds like, you know, that you enjoy it and you get so much from it yourself, from seeing, you know, the people that take part in your courses progress. And do you get people that don't do any art at all, and they come to you and they've started with you, and then you look at what they do and think, oh my goodness, you should have started ages ago.
It's always nice to see a progression, I think, you know, and I think that's kind of the thing I love about teaching, is that you're kind of nurturing and developing people, and you're kind of getting them in touch with what they don't realize is within them. So you can perhaps see their potential, or, you know, you can actually lead them to something that they didn't know was there, and it's something that's inside them. So you're kind of unlocking something in individuals, whereby you get to see them sort of grow and blossom. And one of the things that I used to love about teaching in person was, you know, giving everyone a brief or doing a demonstration and showing people how to do something. And at the end of the class, you'd always have lots and lots of different interpretations. And that's one of the things I love about art, is that, you know, no two things are truly the same, because everybody has a different style. Everybody has a different flair for colour, or, you know, something else creatively. So you get to see that come out, and you kind of get to be part of that process, which is lovely.
So I suppose, yeah, people are drawn to different things, aren't they? And different, like you talk about mixed media. You've got a wealth of media that you use. Have you got any favourites?
Yeah, I think, I don't know whether this will change over time. I mean, you know, ask me in 10 or 20 years, I might give you a different answer. But I kind of grew up and taught myself acrylic many, many moons ago. So I've probably been using them for a good 30, 40 years, I suspect. I started quite young with them. But my favourite combination would be collage and acrylic. I don't know, there's just sort of worlds that they unlock within me, and then I can kind of bring them forth, really.
Yeah, and you have created some fantastic pieces. I've seen some of those. They're just so unusual.
Thank you. Well, this is the thing with creativity. I mean, you know, you kind of do something which is copying or learning something. And we do a lot of that when we teach, because people often need an example. But the other side of it is about unlocking something within you, where you're not using the prefrontal cortex and your brain to really concentrate and focus. And you're not honing your perceptual skills. You're actually creating from a place within you, where you're bringing something forth which is very expressive. And that's kind of the zone that I go into. And, you know, you're a songwriter, Mandy. You'll know what that zone is like. It's kind of a space that you go to, which it's hard to explain to other people, but it's that kind of well of creativity. And then you finish something and you think, wow, didn't know that was in me. So, you know, it's kind of like that. And I think any tool that gets you to the other side of that process and gives you an end result that you're happy with, you know, is probably the thing that you're going to favour.
I totally agree. I mean, that place is amazing. And I would encourage anyone to, if they're not creative, to start being creative. If they've put their creativity to one side, you know, start doing it, because this, you know, the writing and everything that I do has kept me sane during lockdown, as I'm sure your art has. Now, one thing I do want to ask, Sarah, is obviously it's online now. And so you usually come armed with all sorts of things, I'm sure. Brushes, paper, all sorts of things. So how does it work? So if somebody wants to go on one of your courses, do you send them a list of things they can get hold of easily, order from some big online place or something?
I've got like prep sheets, so that it gives you all of the things and then gives you suggestions of where you might want to buy. So if we're not in lockdown, it might be a local store that you want to support, or, you know, if it's kind of you know, a difficult time to buy things, or you're budget conscious, I've put options in for that as well. So and I've also got it within the classroom, some short instructional videos, like how to care for your brushes, how to set up your work area, how to be successful at sort of, you know, distance learning, which is effectively what we're doing. So I try and set people up for success. I mean, all they really need to do is to buy the things that they need, which can be done quite cheaply. You could buy things on eBay, or you might have things lying around already. And I try and set people up for sort of minimum cost, really, by giving those suggestions.
Oh, that's brilliant. So, do you know, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but I wanted to ask you about that. Is there anything else that you feel is really important that people, you know, our listeners should know out there about what you're doing?
I think really it's very tricky times for everyone, you know, and I don't sort of not include myself in that, you know. Nobody's perfect, and we're all having strange times. But one thing I know for sure, and again, you'll probably relate, is that art really gets you through, you know, whether you're suffering with something like anxiety or depression, or whether you're just feeling a bit down or unmotivated, whether you're just not feeling like yourself. Creativity has just got so many aspects to it that can really, really heal. And it's when you, particularly when you're very, very stressed or if you're feeling very burnt out, creativity is something that can really calm you. You know, it's been shown to put people into a flow state. It's been, you know, proven to reduce things like blood pressure and anxiety. And it also stops you if you've got kind of thoughts that are really spiraling. Art is great for that because it interrupts the process. So yeah, as you're focusing on something else, you know, the brain kind of can't do the two things at once. So it's great for all of those things.
That's great advice, Sarah. Now, we're really running out of time, but could you please, and it goes so quickly, could you please tell us how our listeners could get in touch with you? Website, email?
Yeah, sure. The best place to get in touch with me is via Facebook, and you can either search Create and Calm, and it's the word and, not an ampersand, or you can type in at Create and Calm, and it should come up. You might even see the Create and Calm Academy, but that's the private group. So if you just go to Create and Calm, you can always send me a message on there. If anybody's not on Facebook and they want to get in touch with me, they can easily do that, probably via yourself, and I'm sure that you'd be able to pass my details on to them.
I will. And Sarah, thank you so much for today. I really enjoyed listening to you, and I advise anybody to go and have a look at Sarah's work. And thank you, Sarah, and hopefully you'll come back.
You never know. One last thing I will say is that we are starting this week, and people can sign up. So I don't want to disappoint anybody. If they do want to sign up, the next opportunity will probably be after Easter.
Oh, brilliant.
So okay. Yeah, the February course, get in touch straight away.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Sarah. Thank you.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.